Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
Our first reading is a reading from Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and I stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, those bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Read Psalm 130 responsibly. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord.
O Lord.
If you were to keep watch over sins, O Lord, who could stand?
Yet with you is forgiveness, in order that you may be feared.
I wait for you, O Lord. My soul waits, and your word is my hope.
My soul waits for the Lord, more than those who keep watch for the morning. More than those who keep watch for the morning.
O Israel, wait for the Lord. With the Lord there is steadfast love. With the Lord there is plenteous redemption.
For the Lord shall redeem Israel from all their sins.
A second reading is from Romans. To set the mind of the flesh is death, but to set on the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, also through his Spirit that dwells in you. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for the God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Judeans were just now trying to stone you and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk through during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Judeans had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Judeans who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Judeans who were with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Judeans said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." Then when he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Judeans, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord. As the church approaches Holy Week, the persistent question that keeps surfacing involves relationship. The fundamental relationship pattern of faith comes first from God's creative act. God's love for all creation finds centrality throughout the stories of the scripture that are received through scripture. Psalm 136 has a refrain in each verse of that psalm. And the psalmist asserts in that refrain, as the psalmist rehearses the story of God's creation and God's salvation act for the world, for all creation. Perhaps in this time, when so many things feel so very uncertain, that refrain provides a key to life. For God's steadfast love endures forever. Let's say it a few times together. For God's steadfast love endures forever. One more time. For God's best love endures forever. Let those words wash over us. Let those words seep into the very depths of each one of our souls. Allow the promise of God's steadfast and enduring love to fill each heart. God calls for a parallel reality of steadfast and enduring love, love for neighbor. Living in steadfast love of neighbor requires great vigilance in one-to-one relationship, in congregation relationships, in community relationships, in societal relationships. Love for one another trumps all other concerns. So back to that question of relationship. Think for a moment about the very core of your individual relationship with God. What words come to the fore for you? In your mind, list those words. The question is, what word or words describe your relationship with Jesus? One word per response. You can answer multiple responses as you wish. And so, as you respond, and as the church hears about Mary and Martha and even Lazarus in their relationship with Jesus, the reality of deep and lasting relationship comes into focus. First, the sisters send word for Jesus. For whatever reason, Jesus takes his sweet time responding to their call for help, for healing. As much as readers can sometimes become angry or frustrated that Jesus says, you know, it is for God's glory so that the Son of God may be glorified through this delay, this event. Of course, his delay goes on for 2 more days. However, you may have noticed that certainly by the time Jesus gets there, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. The narrator makes sure that we hear that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Jesus, God's steadfast love endures forever. Then Jesus heads to Judea, where religious leadership has been plotting to kill him. He announces that Lazarus has died, fallen asleep, and he is going to awaken him. This mission involves danger, and good old Thomas makes a commitment to accompany Jesus, even at risking their own lives. God's love endures forever. As Jesus approaches, each in turn, Martha and Mary go out and speak with Jesus. Martha's address does not carry quite the edge of Mary's, yet each of them express sorrow, great sadness, even a bit of, well, that anger with Jesus. Maybe their words do not ring as angry to those of us who hear today. Their conversation, though, holds a very real honesty. In reality, Jesus calls for this honest conversation. And in each conversation, both Jesus and the women speak words of hope. As the word cloud forms, how has this honesty, this hope, this trust shown up? God's steadfast love endures forever. There is another reality. However one interprets it, Jesus weeps. Jesus loves Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. Jesus feels and expresses emotion. Jesus cares in very deep and human ways. Sometimes faithful people begin to see Jesus as a superhero, as an action figure who is impervious to human emotion and indeed humanity. Jesus is absolutely human, even in his divinity. God's steadfast love endures forever. Jesus goes to the tomb and calls for the stone to be rolled away. Martha objects. He's been dead 4 days. The stench. But Jesus persists. Jesus prays. And Jesus calls Lazarus out of the tomb. Lazarus comes out. And Jesus gives a command to all who have gathered around, to that crowd, unbind him and let him go. God's steadfast love endures forever. In this story of relationship, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus live with honesty and clarity. They speak their truth, their concern, even their frustration. Could it even be anger with Jesus? They live and hope and live with hope and a confidence that belies their moments of wondering and, well, wavering in this relationship. There is truth at the bedrock. How have the words assembled in this word cloud reflect this kind of love, this kind of honesty, this kind of trust, this kind of hope, this kind of advocacy, this kind of activity? At the fore, at the core, the word cloud speaks of comfort and wisdom and love and hope and grace, among so many other things. In this time, the world tends to bind many, many people, even to the point of death. Jesus seeks them and offers them life. The community of the church has a clear command: unbind them and let them go. Unbind them and let them go. For indeed, God's steadfast love endures forever.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.